So it was a cold day like today. And a son was getting ready to go to the bus stop. And as children sometimes do, they had on what they thought was appropriate. And he was getting ready to go out of the house in a short sleeve shirt, nothing else. Interestingly enough, the mom saw him. And the mom says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. You need a long sleeve shirt for today." The son said, nope, I'm wearing short sleeves. I believe in the Second Amendment." The mother goes, wait a second. What does the Second Amendment have anything to do with you wearing a long sleeve shirt today?" And the son turned to her and said, "You know, I have the right to bear arms." That was bad, wasn't it? But it was good at the same time, because it fit with the sermon. And the sermon is, who has the right to bear arms in the day and time of Jesus? The centurions. Those soldiers in the world that surrounded Jesus, they had the right to bear arms. Just a quick review. We're talking about the armor of God that comes out of Ephesians chapter 6 that the Apostle Paul wrote to us. We've looked at a number of the pieces that go with that. Last week we looked at the shoes of peace. The Apostle Paul gives us these items because he wanted to remind us that the battle we're in right now isn't about that person or that person. It's about greater things. As he put it, it's about the principalities and powers of this present darkness. It's about fighting darkness with light. It's about fighting evil with good. The Apostle Paul wanted to remind us that it's not about, I dislike that person. It's about, how can we reach them at a very deep level? Because our battle is not the person. It's the darkness that surrounds them. Last week we talked about shoes. And as we put on shoes, we get prepared to go into a situation in which we can declare peace. And the situation we have today that Chris read for us earlier is Jesus putting on the shoes of peace to walk into a situation in which there is discord. Amazing discord. In the city of Capernaum, like any city in that day and time, they had religious leaders, they had Roman soldiers, and they didn't get along. But we have something strange here. Jesus walked into both of those worlds. And the reason why he did that is because when we put on the shoes of peace, we put on an understanding that every person we meet is a person of value. Even if they look disgusting, act disgusting, or whatever they may do that turns us off, every person is a person of value. And the reason for that is because they're made in God's image. They're made according to God's likeness. As a result of putting on those shoes, which allow us to see the way in which God made them, we can now walk into all situations with the tools God gave us, which is righteousness, that's the breastplate, and the belt of truth. We add more as the time goes on. Jesus walked into that situation so he could bring the good news that he came to save. Today's story illustrates that there are people out there, when they put on the breastplate, they see the world differently. I mentioned that there's the elders of the Jews present in this situation, and then a centurion. Strange as this may be, the centurion was on such good relationship with the elders that they were willing to go to Jesus to bring a request. In that day and time, the elders of the people, the Jewish folk, hated the Romans because the Romans were the oppressing force. And the Romans thought that these were religious fanatics, despised them. But in this city of Capernaum, we find that they get along. And the reason why they get along is because the centurion understood there are deeper things than winning battles. The centurion understood there was a way of living in which you can touch even your enemies. Literally, he put on the breastplate of righteousness. He had the belt of truth on. He had the shoes of peace. So he could see the Jewish folk for what they were. People who loved God. Now, our scripture says the reason why the elders were working with the centurion is because the centurion, this is the quote that Chris read earlier, you might have missed it. It said the centurion loved the nation of Israel and he himself built the synagogue in Capernaum. When we were on our trip to Israel, one of the places we went to is Capernaum. Capernaum's a ruined city. There's nothing there. There's no McDonald's. There's not even a falafel stand. All right, for those of you who know what falafels are. You can't even buy shawarma there. All right? So that's how ruined it is. But the synagogue, you can walk into it. Doesn't have a roof. Doesn't have doors or windows. But it's huge. This is the synagogue we're talking about. It's called a white synagogue because all the stones were brought up from Jerusalem. And they're white in color. It has nothing to do with who goes to it. Has everything to do with what the walls look like. And here we find in the scripture that that centurion contributed to the building of that synagogue. He was a friend of the Jewish folk. An interesting thing about this centurion, he had qualities that demonstrated he understood this armor of God. Centurion could have, he could have ordered Jesus to come and heal his slave. You know that. He had the power to do that. In fact, another story, at the end of Jesus' life, when he's carrying the cross to Golgotha, the centurion grabs someone out of the crowd, Simon from the city of Cyrene, the area of Cyrene. He makes him carry Jesus' cross. The centurion could have gone to Jesus and said, "You, Rabbi, come heal my slave." But he understood there was more to Jesus than just him and these 12 boys that followed him. There's also something about the centurion that speaks about his humility. He wasn't worthy to go speak to Jesus. And he wasn't worthy for Jesus, a religious man, to come to his house. That's a deep sense of humility. He understood that Jesus was more than a teacher, that Jesus was more than a man who just wandered the countryside, more than a guy who had a band of followers of 12. He understood that Jesus, on a very deep level, was who Jesus said he is. He's the Messiah, able to come and save us from our sins. Now, we're on this side of the cross. We're on this side of the resurrection. We are blessed to see this already. We've seen the organized church. We've experienced people were changed by knowing Jesus. We've seen the stream of Christianity across the ages. This centurion did not have this. All he had was what he saw in Jesus, which means he's already putting on righteousness and truth. He sees Jesus as someone who's able to make a huge difference in this world. And the centurion, transformed by him knowing these pieces of Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul, I bring this up to you. Interesting. A centurion shows us what faith's all about. And that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. The next piece in our armor is that shield of faith. Faith, as I mentioned in the children's sermon, is a very basic definition. It means trust. That you trust God at God's word. You trust what God says is true. As it's presented in the Bible, as God brings it to your heart, that you trust that God is true. Because you know why? Sometimes our emotions go off the grid. And we're out of control. That's why we need God's word. Sometimes we hear things we shouldn't be hearing. They influence us. They taint us. They hurt us. And we need to know that God's word tells us we're worthwhile. That we are people of value. That God loves us so much that he sent Jesus for us. This shield that the Apostle Paul wrote about is what protects us. We're called to take up the shield of faith. And as a result of that, we'll be able to guard ourselves from the flaming arrows that come from the evil one. Now, the interesting piece about this shield, it was large. It was about this tall, which makes it about 5.5 feet, give or take. And it's so large that when you held it, the only thing visible are your eyes. Your helmet covers this part. You see out your eyes. The shield covers the rest of it. The shield had a knob in the middle. You saw that as I was showing it. And here, this has a cross. But the knob is called a boss. It's an offensive weapon. So when you pushed out, that knob would push away. Shield was also curved. There's a reason why it's curved. That if you had someone come up against you with a sword and went to attack you, it glances off instead of hitting full on. If the shield's flat and a person hits you straight on, you get recoiled back. But because it's curved and someone attacks you, it glances off and it doesn't have the full force of the blow that a person would have intended. Now, we're called to carry a shield. By the way, on the inside of the shield, you would put your arm in and you would be strapped in. So even if you fell down, you can't lose that shield. It's attached to you. So the moment you fall down, you could still hold it up. You don't have to worry about hanging on to it, because guess what? It is part of who you are, just like your breastplate, just like your belt, just like your shoes. It's part of who you are and how you function in this world. Now, the Apostle Paul describes us protecting ourselves as a shield of faith. There's a reason for this. There are many attacks that come our way that seek to destroy the faith we have. In fact, a couple of the attacks, and these are most recent. This is only about 5 years ago. They uncovered a thing called the Gospel of Judas, saying that Judas was the real disciple. The other 11 didn't know what they were talking about. By the way, it doesn't date back to the first century. It only dates back to about year 600. But it really changes our viewpoint if you buy into it. That's one of the flaming darts that the evil one sends into us so that we can start to have doubt in our own faith. Another one was the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, which said that Jesus got married, never went to the cross. Jesus got married, and the two of them wandered off to France and lived a happy life, I guess drinking Bordeaux and eating baguettes. I don't know. It doesn't go back to the first century either. It doesn't even go back to the fifth century. It's a more of a middle age, 700-year piece. But that's a flaming dart sent our way so that we have doubt in our own faith. This is one of the frightening pieces about this, because flaming darts will come our way. And if we don't have the ability to shield ourselves from it, it can slowly, surely eat away our faith. Some of the more personal ones are, you know what? All of you are hypocrites. Have you ever heard that? Why people don't come to church is because they're filled with hypocrites. I have people say that to me. And my comment is, we could always use one more. I probably shouldn't say that. That's the first thing in my mouth, though. It's so hard not to say it. Because the moment a person says you're a hypocrite means they're not, which means they live a perfect life. Only one person did that. So realize, anybody says we're all hypocrites, you say, yes, of course we are. That's why we go to church. Because sometimes what I say I'm going to do, I don't do it. And sometimes when I say I'm going to be good, I'm not good. And sometimes when I say I'm going to have faith, I don't. That's the reason why we go to church. Because we need the strength. But that's one of the flaming darts in our way. You all are hypocrites. There are other flaming darts. You're not good enough. You heard it during the children's sermon. You're not tall enough. You're too short. You don't have enough money. You don't have good enough clothes. All those things are sent our way to try and keep us from having faith. Because the end result of not having faith is that the evil one can destroy us. Now let me tell you what happens when we allow the darts to come in. Is that doubt starts to creep in. Because the opposite of faith is to have doubt. And if we live into our doubts instead of living into our faith, the end result is our shield is not very big. You realize that we're responsible for the size shield we have. And if we're always living in our doubt, always thinking, oh my goodness, God, I can't believe this, or look at that, or I don't know about you, or any one thing that fuels our doubts, we keep our shield about 1 inch tall, which keeps out zero of those flaming arrows. So our goal is to eliminate doubt and increase faith. If you have doubt, we put a sheet back there for you. This was last week. Some of y'all who, for whatever reason, I don't know why y'all didn't come to church last week. I don't get it. It snowed a little bit. Come on. Like 3 inches worth. And wise, by the way, wise. A lot of people left after Sunday school. I was tied here because I have to watch the preacher to make sure he says what's true. But anyway, it was rough getting home, I agree. But anyway, after last week's sermon, we put a sheet back there. How do you walk into a situation? But also, how do you build your faith? So when you have doubt, that sheet back there is to help you shore up your faith so that you can move the doubts out and you can move faith in. Also, if you have doubts, ask someone. Someone who knows a little bit more. Someone who may have trained in this. Read the Bible. Come to Bible study. That's why we have Sunday school, to answer these questions. So your shield grows. Interestingly enough, our shield stays small if we take our faith casual. Oh, I'll do it when I get around to it. On nice days, I'll go to church. Commend yourself. You came to church on a rainy day. Pat yourself on the back. because that means you're taking your faith seriously. And the moment we take our faith seriously, the moment we're going to do our personal daily time with our scripture and with our God, that we choose to pray, that we're going to meditate, we grow this shield. And when you grow your shield, when you grow your faith, the evil one can't get in. Realize one of the biggest lines of a defense we have, the one of the ways you grow your shield the most, is here in this body as part of the organized church. Because together we help each other out. When you get wounded, we come for you. When I get wounded, you come for me. We help each other out. The Romans had a unique tactic with their shield. It was called the tortoise tactic. That whenever they were going up against an opposing force, they would take their shields, and the ones in the front would put it in front of them. The ones on the side would put the shield on the side, and the ones in the middle would put the shield on top, and they became a rolling tank. No matter how many arrows you shot at them, you could not hurt them. And they moved right up to an opposing force and then was able to fight them without losing a single person. This is the power of the church, folks. When we gather together, when we do this together, when we learn our faith together, there's power in that. That we can defend the fiery darts so much more effective than if we did it by ourselves. Realize this is your responsibility. It's your responsibility to put on the breastplate and live rightly. It's your responsibility to learn the truth and live in the truth. That's the belt. It's your responsibility to put on your shoes and walk in the ways of peace. It is also your responsibility to build your shield so that you're protected by the ways of the evil one and from the fiery darts that will come from him. Fiery darts that won't come in an arrow hitting you. No, fiery darts that make you believe something that's not true. That's not who you are. Remember, you're a child of God. Jesus loved you so much, he came for you. He loved you so much, he died on the cross for you. He loves you so much, he rose from the grave for you. And now, Jesus continues to be present with us. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the amazing way our lives have been touched by you. For the manner in which we can learn to be your people. Help us to build our faith, Lord God. Build it in such a way that it's not 1 inch tall, but rather it guards us. So that we can live as your people in this world. So that we can always follow the truth and live in love. We can demonstrate your peace. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.